name's Josh Snyder. You're listening to Thoughtful Discussions, and I'm here with
Ryan Haggerty.
Yes, and the one and only Corey Ochai, man. We back at it again. Yes, sir.
Yes. And Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
Well, first, I'm going to have a taste of this delicious water.
So we got to do it all at the same time.
And you can have a listen.
I'm on my second one.
Thanks. Thanks for having me out and presenting me with this delicious water. Appreciate you guys having me out. It's a good night to be here in Sharpsburg, but my name is Ryan Haggerty. Currently I'm really deep into doing things here in Pittsburgh that have to do with economic mobility, including workforce development programming for adults, and just really figuring out how do people meet the other humans to kind of do the next things that they want to do.
Absolutely.
Which I think, you know, there's a whole theme of that with everybody's lives coming out of like peak pandemic, of making reconnections and things like that, that seems very timely around all these conversations of like, how do we get back together to figure out how to do the things we want to do? So it's a lot of work figuring out how to get things going, but I always like to tell people that like, once the people come in and start doing the thing that, you know, you designed for them to be able to do, it feels a lot less like work. So.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, ever since the pandemic, you know, joined the idea of becoming an entrepreneur,
yeah.
You know, really, really trying to figure this thing out for themselves, going, you know, working in a traditional structure, you know, for someone, and watching that crumble and kind of losing faith in that system and wanted to create their own. So a lot of times, you know, it's about learning, you know, different marketing skills, learning how to use and navigate Google to present your product and those type of things. And I know what you're doing over there with the Warhol Academy. You know, it really helps, you know, entrepreneurs really get a grasp on those tactics and just that information, man. So it's really cool to see. I'm really honored to have you here today, man, and like give you your flowers as well as learn about how you planted those seeds. So it's going to be dope. It's going to be a dope conversation. You guys are in for a treat today. Absolutely.
Cheers to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Get your own custom water at pjhprintship.com.
Let's put that in there.
Custom water tastes delicious, by the way.
It does.
Not paid actors.
But no, I mean it's been fun seeing things come back too. Like I think 2023 felt like the year of too many events. Like not that that's a bad thing ever, but it felt like we were like jam packed last year. Not just with things that I was doing, but just everybody all
making
around
up
the
for
city.
Lost time.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And I think we people feel that. You know, people feel like we're owed that in a way. And I'm glad the event scene came through last year for sure.
Mm.
Absolutely. It was definitely exciting to get back to it, but it became exhausting because it seemed like there was something every other day.
Right.
There was something, you know, didn't get a chance to really sit back and relax. But, you know, it was good to see the world. It was good to see a little bit of normalcy, you know, 2023. It just started to seem like, okay, we're getting our footing back, you know. So that was pretty cool, man. So, you know, let's talk about how you kind of got into the position that you're in now. What is your title over there?
So I kind of have two titles right now just because of the way that we have some programs running. But if you think about programming, I'm a program director for adult workforce side of what we do. So we have kind of built off of this foundation that the Warhol Museum's always done with youth arts education, which is great to have for young people, great to get in and learn about thing, be exposed to a thing. And then really our side of it is like, okay, you're 18 and over, you've gotten into this thing and it's really, you made it your own, it's your jam. Now, how do you keep going and how do you support yourself within this world that, you know, you want to do this particular thing that you're really into now?
Yeah.
And so.
Can you give us an example of that? Like maybe,
Yeah. I think you mentioned entrepreneurship. And so, you know, some of the youth arts education programs will have people actually making things, whether that's a, you know, printed T-shirt with a custom design on it that looks really sick. Doing, you know, I'm looking around at the art on the walls over here, but poster design and things that kind of raise advocacy or like help build community. And once they're done making it, there's several opportunities throughout the year, whether it's like right at the end of the program, they have a space called Print Lounge. They'll set up a little pop-up shop. Right. Or we did the block party in October, and they shut down Isabella Street. Mm-hmm. And there's like, you know, thousands of people coming out to see live music. And these young people are welcome to come out and sell their stuff there, too. So they're really starting to see. Not, it's not just the same as putting, I always say like putting on the fridge, right? They kind of get to see that reaction.
Right.
But they also get to see this benefit that like their stuff has value to people. People, they have fans, you know, I own two of their tees and they're amazing.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's like in small parts, like, you know, with younger people, especially and older people, but young people, especially, they don't quite realize what is for them or could be for them. And just take a lot of encouragement, a lot of reinforcement to kind of see themselves in a certain way a lot of times. And it's just giving them opportunities to be able to see that and experience that, really.
Okay, dope, man. And that was your first title, right? You said more of a program director, right?
Yeah.
And what about the second one would be, I'm sorry, I don't know if I
No, I didn't bring it up yet. Yeah. So it's directly related to that. And it's a school director because we have a state licensed school that we run a diploma programming out of. And so with that, there's a lot of like, keeping up with, I don't know, has anybody here dealt with the state of Pennsylvania or the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I should say?
Looking right at this camera. Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot to keep up with, right? Like once you've gotten a thing through the state, there's reporting requirements and, you know, just like documentation. And some of it makes a lot of sense. And you're like, I'm glad we're doing this as a standard to hold us accountable. Hmm. And then there's just things that are outdated and frustrating and probably shouldn't be as difficult as they are. And it's maybe the reason more people aren't doing this kind of thing.
Okay.
So, you know, we take the good with the bad with that. But, you know, I'm also trying to just help keep us legitimate and have us have good outcomes within what we do.
Man, that's exciting. That's a lot to digest right at the beginning of a podcast. Let me just put that out there. All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think more so than anything, you know, you're qualified for this position, right? And what I think the podcast a lot of times goes back, like, how did you become qualified for this position? You know, how did this even come to be? And where did you learn all these skills where now you're able to deploy them and help other people with this, help the world, you know?
So
I guess we'll start at, you know.
I think a little bit of it, if you start to slice apart like this world of people trying to come in, especially from the adult side, right? I think as adults, a lot of people, you know, when they're ready to do a thing because of our smartphones and other digital things now, we want like convenience. We want it to happen now. We don't want to wait another 4 years for another degree. We don't want to spend a ton of money because we have so many things that we can learn through that are free.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think there's a lot of like changes in our behaviors and expectations around that.
Okay.
But then also because we're so saturated in this digital world that does kind of separate us as people, we want to be connected again. We want to come back around a thing. We want to ask another human a question. You know, I think a really good pet peeve of mine that I would just draw as an example, it's like when you're trying to return something online, right? And it's an unknown process and you're trying to dig through the multiple pages that they've set up to prevent you from actually being able to probably return the thing. And you're like, man, if I could just ask one question right now, I'd be done with this. Right. And I just need to talk to somebody. You know, it's like those kinds of little frustrations that we get to that like, man, we'd love for things where we're making these big decisions about education and building a business and doing things in our lives. We want other humans around us to have a conversation with and to feel good about that decision versus, you know, doing it solopreneur all the time and wading into those waters and feeling like we're going to drown.
Yeah, I think we just dropped a clip just recently this week about that. You know, if you have an idea and you think, and we're gonna redo it now. If you have an idea and you think you can do it by yourself, you're not dreaming big enough.
Right.
You know, it is great. It's way better to have a collection of minds. You know, like-minded people, not just for the information, but for confidence. You know, for confirmation of the direction you're going.
Right.
Tends to be. You know, that's something when you're traveling a path that you have never even known existed. It feels like you're in this field of nothingness, and you're trying to grab for something to grab onto, right? You're like feeling around in a dark room trying to look for the door, and you just can't feel anything. And sometimes just having someone else there, you know, you can walk with them in that room. It just gives you a little bit more confidence, you know, talking with somebody, communicating with somebody who is going in that same direction, maybe not the same path, but the direction and some of the things that you're going through, they experience. So it's not just, you have someone you can talk to, you know, something that's familiar.
Absolutely.
And that's grand when you're going for things you've never gone for before.
I was imagining my way through that dark room for a second there. That's why I was like, Corey's taking us to a place here now.
Taking you there, man. Taking you there.
Sometimes you need a friend.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, even in this journey, Josh, you've been having PGH and navigating that terrain of entrepreneurship from the ground roots, you know, for 10 years or so now. I think you just had the 10-year anniversary.
Coming up.
I'm a little premature. Yeah, I'm a little premature, right. But we're right there.
Right there, 2 months away.
So me coming in.
Probably by the time this is out, it'll be.
It'll be that time. Yeah, but me coming into the entrepreneurial space, having a friend like yourself, you know, and saying, okay, this is what I'm going through, and you having stories of when you went through that time, gives me confirmation that, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah.
You know, so now I have confidence going in this direction for this solution or whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just important to be surrounded by people like that, man.
There's absolutely steps, like, as you're growing in a business, and it doesn't matter what kind of business, but there's going to be milestones. And there's going to be figuring out, like, who your customers are, who the right customers are, who the right people to work with are, who the wrong ones, and identifying that and developing your kind of, like, terms of service and whatever it is. But, like, I mean, dealing with, you know, whether you got landlords or you're buying a building or you got, like, there's so many different facets that are behind the scenes that the everyday person doesn't even deal with in their regular business communication and like the being able to work with other business owners and have confirmation and understand that, like, you're not alone. It absolutely you need that. It's a two-way mentorship for sure.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, and I mean, really bringing up the idea of like just wanting other humans in that process kind of goes back to what you were asking about, like, how was I able to kind of build where I started
right.
You know, kind of getting to here.
Yeah.
And I moved to Pittsburgh to, like, live here 2016 and was doing some stuff, like teaching online, you know, had a business going with some photo and video clients from back where I was living in rural PA. And I think even before I moved here, I'd been introduced to Work Hard Pittsburgh. And, you know, understood it as like this co-working space, and maybe there was some video work that came through there or something. And that was really the first spot that I landed where I could start to just, you know, it's like when you move to a new place, right? You're asking a million questions. You're like, okay, you know, if you don't have laundry where you're living, it's like, where am I doing that? You know, where's the good grocery store? Where's the good place to get this food? You know, where can I go work out or take a walk or a bike ride or whatever you're trying to find? And, like, having a place full of people who were all, you know, figuring out entrepreneurial things and doing creative things. And also a lot, I would say the majority of people that were kind of in that co-working space also tended to have a little bit of an impact thing to what they were doing in terms of empowering a community in some way,
right?
Was just a really healthy place to be, to, like, you know, not only ask those questions but struggle a little bit, you know, as like a business owner that was just starting to figure out, like, what Pittsburgh was going to be like and how I was going to do what I intended to do there.
Absolutely. When I hear work hard, man, I think of everyone that was a part of that cohort, I don't know how to say, the co-working space.
Yeah.
I look at you guys like the original X-Men. I really do. Like, there's so many people that are doing amazing things right now that got their start there. And it's just like, you know, from Day and Ed to you to Maddie Love to Josh, you know, Lucas, and
Epicast. Yeah, I mean, so many things came out of there.
Buzzy. I mean, it's just it's wild because the people that I see that are that I connect, you know, this evolution in Pittsburgh to, it seems like there is somebody from Work Hard there. Mm-hmm. Maybe even pushing it forward, you know. From it's a beautiful thing. So, what was it like discovering that? You know, what was it like when your first day when you looked around and you seen, you know, this thing happening?
I mean, so much of it. So, you know, what I do now, I'll just compare it to what I do now and kind of the organization, you know. So I'm in with the Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh, which is obviously like, you know, institution, been in Pittsburgh for, I think it's like coming up on 100 years or something like that now. I forgive me if I'm misquoting Carnegie Museums. Back in the day. But, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of employees, there's a lot of departments, there's just, things are a little bit more sectioned off in terms of like what your responsibilities are and who does what. And it's not to say that Work Hard didn't have systems, but you were just exposed to so many more aspects of what that organization was, because it was smaller, it was a little bit more grassroots. It was definitely a lot more grassroots in the way that things were built. And there were things that were organized and formal, but a lot of like what it was you kind of choose your own adventure as that business owner, as that journalist, as that person who's trying to start something new. And, you know, all you have to do is ask sometimes and express yourself. And the person right next to you might be the person you need. Or, you know, there was a lot of grant funded things that were happening there at all different levels. You know, it was everything from like, I think the Sprout Fund used to be one of the smaller ones where it'd be like $1,500, which is still a nice chunk of money.
Yeah.
All the way up to eventually, you know, some of the big foundations in town where people were having conversations and writing grants. And it was like, how does any of this work? How is this happening right now?
Right.
And like, it was definitely like no idea was too big to kind of talk about and at least, you know, find out, you know, was this feasible? Did you need to scale it back? There was somebody there that you could probably have a conversation with or somebody connected to that network to come in. And that included like real estate and stuff. Like it was wild being somebody running a video business to now like be doing this workforce development, economic mobility. I didn't see that when I stepped in there, but you can certainly see when you start to take all these pieces of this model to try to build a new thing. Like, you know, it was like an incubator in a way, just in a very informal way.
Right. I want to ask on that, like being able to collaborate with the set of people that were there, did that make it so that when you're like, if you were in your own space and you're paying $1,000 for a storefront and you're doing your thing, whatever that thing is, like that can be hard, especially when you're first starting out. But when you're doing this and you're like, everyone's just kind of taking a chip out of the, you know, bigger piece, I feel like it gives you a lot more room. Even though when you're starting out, it might not feel like a lot more room because you like 100% of a very little bit is still 100%. So having kind of being able to start off a little slower and easier way into it and kind of grow from there, is that kind of, that's what I imagine was kind of happening in that space.
Oh, absolutely. And this is, you know, I mean, 2016, before we all had to be stuck at home and couldn't do anything in 2020, like, you know, you still you still feel this pull if you're doing something as like a freelancer, small business owner,
right,
to not always be in a home space. Like you know, I mean, there was a big co-working boom that happened for a reason. Like people knew they wanted something different and they needed, you know, to also be in an environment that made you want to be productive and creative and be around people to like have conversations with. So yeah, I mean, part of it, you're right, like having even just like having that desk and like early days for me, I didn't have a lot of client work. So I would be doing the teaching online thing during the week, grading, you know, student stuff on a Sunday or whatever to get it all turned in so that it was good to go. And then also very early on, I was color correcting because we had done a movie, like a feature film, very small budget, when I was living up in rural PA that we were going to, you know, screen that summer. And so I would come in at night, and that's what I would be doing as I was like scrambling to put together a portfolio of work to like help support myself beyond the teaching and like to really just focus on my business. But, you know, it felt good to be in a space doing a thing, even if it was still building towards the making the money part or the like really feeling like, okay, this could work and like I can run with this.
If you say, if you were to say there was, I know there's more than one, but if there was one particular thing that you learned from that experience that you put on the top of the pedestal, what would it be? You know, what would be that the one thing if
at work you, at work hard?
Yeah. If there was like if you had to say in one sentence the most valuable thing you took from that experience, what would that be? You ever think of that?
Oh man, there's like there needs to be a whole book of
I watched the documentary.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know. Like, I really feel like you guys should do a documentary. Like, because it's really like that. And when I was talking about everybody, you guys didn't let me finish because I wanted to also talk about what you are doing right now and how that is evolving, and evolving entrepreneurship in Pittsburgh, my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, what you guys are doing over there, that's changing the game. It's changing lives. It's changing my perspective on what it could be when I took that class over there. It was big. It was big. And I just know it's going to get bigger. So, yeah, man, if there was one thing you could say you took from there, what would that be?
I mean, I would just repeat what I've heard a lot from other people that I think, you know, this is something that, whether or not everybody thought about it intentionally as they were doing it, it's don't ever be afraid to take the first step. Like, I think that's, you know, and I think I've even heard this on this podcast too. Yeah, but
all the time.
But I think
it's a constant thing.
It's a Martin Luther King quote.
You know, like it's so funny when you're doing anything, you know, starting an organization to help, you know, the community out, starting a business, you know, recording music, right? You don't know what's going to happen, right? You can plan to the nth degree and you never quite know what's going to happen once the thing, you know, once you start going with the thing, right?
Absolutely.
And I just think the space that was Work Hard, it made you feel okay to just try something new and like still, you know, obviously do your homework, do your research, you know, get your resources together and all that. But it was, there was no judgment in what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Like there was nobody there like, oh, that's not how you run a business, right? Like you never heard that come out of somebody's mouth. Like people might laugh about something that somebody did. Right. And like, you know, I have a good friend who does a lot in sustainability and also does some stuff with tech. And we would always joke about how when he would wire something that it was going to catch on fire. And that's why he had this great intern who knew everything. And like, we would joke about stuff like that because that was like real life. And, you know, he was a fire hazard. But I still love you, though.
You know who you are.
But, yeah, it was just kind of nice to be in a space where the rest of the world still existed. But in a way, everybody was there doing their thing and was separate from it in the way they needed to be, you know, and to be, it's not just that we were able to take a risk safely, but you could take a risk, period. Mm, right. You know, that's important. It's important to have space. It's important to have resources. And it's important to have, like, people around you to be able to take a risk.
Well, I think anybody building an environment similar to that, I think that's one of the most important things is building an environment where it's okay to fall. We got you. You know what I mean? So if I can take that first step, like you said, and pretty much like an environment where you're okay being fearless, you know, I think that's what we all need, man. We all need. And I think even when it comes down to my personal life, that's something that my wife has provided for me in my journey was she built an environment for my entrepreneurship. Like you go out there, you give it a shot. We got this here for right now. Just go out there and shoot the shot. And I was fearless because I knew that even if this didn't work out, I can come home to love. And she, you know, like those things were taken care of. Mm-hmm. And if I needed to, I'd just come back and do that. But it was, I think it's so important to not just have that outside, but also inside of the house. You know what I mean? So was there somebody who was supporting you doing this journey that you could really, you know, give them like a kudos to, right? Was it your mom, maybe your pops or a sister or brother? Like who was it at home that gave you stability to be able to go out into the world and tear it the hell up?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been able to count on my family. I'm from North Carolina, but, you know, there's definitely been times where it was like, not that I ever, you know, really had to worry about financial things, I guess. And that was part of me moving to Pittsburgh. It was like, this is make or break it. Like, I have to either, you know, that was maybe the backup plan that I knew I could always rely on my family if I absolutely had it to, which is a privilege. And then just in terms of the people, I mean, I don't know. I've moved multiple times when I was living in North Carolina to where it's like when you move to that new place, you make that new friend circle, and I still keep in touch with old friends. Okay. But I would say that's like I've developed that, you know, like everybody does, like every time I've moved and gone on. So even in Pittsburgh, early days, it was really a lot of people through Work Hard, most likely, I would say. And you know, I'll just throw out Josh Lucas cause his name's going to come up at some point. Yeah. But, when I'd be sitting there and I'm like stressing about, okay, I know I have this teaching thing going. I know I'm starting to like talk to these people about some work, but like, you know, where am I going to get recurring client work? Like, how am I going to get my name out there? And they had this thing going with some, grant money to be able to fund some video work out of Millvale. And I think they were calling it Pittsburgh Tall back then was like the initiative. But essentially, you know, if people don't know as much about Millvale, I mean, there's this amazing community library there that has solar panels on it. There's tons of small businesses that have popped up over the years and really kind of like helped build up their main street. There's a whole food co-op. There's New Sun Rising. There's two breweries now. And, you know, so getting to do video work out in a place like Millvale was like a great work opportunity that was like a lifeline extended to me, but also just like a great learning opportunity for the kinds of things that somebody could be doing in a city, or at least on the outskirts of a city in terms of like what could be.
Okay.
So I would say, you know, between the Work Hard kind of family that I started to get, and then especially early days, and even now, like Millvale, like right. It's not like it's a second home to me, but it feels like home, like going back there. Like it's just having met people like Scott from New Sun Rising and folks like that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Shout out to Scott, man. Shout out to New Sun Rising as well. Doing a lot of great things over there.
I love it.
Yeah, man. So mentorship is extremely important, right?
You relationships.
Know, a lot of, yeah. Relationships. And a lot of times we're going through doing these new things and we have questions that there's probably questions we have to ask that we don't even know, you know? So could we talk about the importance of maybe mentors that you've had and how you navigated finding them, as well as how do you approach that situation? I don't know, just in general, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great question. And I think it goes back to the don't being afraid to ask for things kind of thing, right. Where, you know, you're into and you're doing what you want to do for a reason. Right. Like, so don't ever feel like apologetic about that, or don't ever feel like you have to do something else just because somebody else feels that way. And so I think with a mentor, it's almost like identifying who, sometimes it's already happening, right? You don't even realize it's happening when you're in the middle of it and you're like, man, we drink a lot of coffee together. Like, yes, you know, or whatever the mentor relationship is. Yeah. But I think it's always the people that help you see things about yourself that you don't currently see.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to like through, you know, my years of receiving education and like different teachers, just like being like, you know, they always do this kind of a teacher. A lot of them do this great thing where it's like that subtle hint of, you know, oh, did you see that? Like, you know, did you hear about that yet? And like kids are funny. It's like you can never tell us to do a thing. But man, as soon as like we get curious about a thing, like we're all about it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the same way as adults, as we just kind of have these conversations. And then as things come up, you know, there's something that like pings in your brain as being like, oh, what did you just say?
Right.
And it's the same curiosity all over again. So for me, I think a lot of mentors kind of help me change how I see things, or like if I'm struggling with something, it's like that shift in perspective to where either you feel more confident in the things that you already know and you have in yourself that you're doubting,
right,
or it's that like, you know, who cares, right? Nobody else knows how to do this either,
yeah,
right? It's fine to like try something new. It's fine to build something in a new way. And, you know, once again, just not being judgmental and, you know, about the idea that you're bringing to it. I think those are like a lot of qualities in a mentor that at least I've recognized that I've been like, okay, you know, you're being very helpful to me. Mm-hmm. And I even thought about it that way.
You guys remember your first mentor? Like, you know, or can you identify your first mentor?
Yeah.
The first big one for me was, his name was Daniel Verdugo, and he owned and operated like 26 newspapers in from LA to San Diego, like real small, like community newspapers. And he helped me publish we had a music magazine at the time, and he helped us. He did the printing for it. And, he helped me with a lot of just like business ins and outs. And, he was young for doing what he was doing. I think he was still in his like late 20s, and him and his brother did it, and they had offices all over the area, and they kind of grew big. And it was being able to, he kind of took me under his wing because I was young. I was like 17, 18, trying to do something similar to what he was doing when he was young. And so, by all means, he's the first person that kind of really told me how it was, and also wasn't afraid to, you know, like, hey, don't do that, or, you know, definitely go in on this is what you need, kind of.
Right, right.
More ins and outs.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. What about you, Ryan? What about you?
Early days mentor. I definitely remember, I don't even remember what subject it was, but I had a middle school teacher. His name was Mr. Nance, and he would do different things because it wasn't related to the subject, right? Where as kids, we could go and try to find a word that we thought he couldn't spell. And, you know, this is like pre these days and a lot of other things when I was in middle school. But, you know, it was stuff like that. Or he would say things like, you know, just having a strong memory is not the highest sign of intelligence. You know, as a young person, it's like, so he was the kind of teacher I think that could challenge you almost trick you, like, once again, right? It's like the mentor kind of bringing that curiosity out of you in a very natural way that you don't even think about it,
right?
And I think he was somebody that like made me think about, you know, because I could memorize things, right? And it was like, ooh, maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am, right? It kind of challenged me in a way to want to do better and to think a little differently, and also recognize, like, you know, intelligence in different ways of people.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think mine's was, and it was, it's, you know, it's so wild because when I came for the Warhol Academy is right on Isabella Street, and there's this window, and it looks out, and you can see the Roberto Clemente Bridge. But right across the street is a place called Matthews International, and I used to be a security guard there,
mm-hmm.
And it was during the pandemic, and it was like really, I can say officially, my first mentors was the execs that would come in, and every day, and the one that I know for sure, it was the CEO. His name is Joseph Bartolacci. Bartolacci, I probably butchering that, but I just called him Joe. And every morning, he would get two Wall Street Journals. So he would get one for himself and one for me. I would take one up to his office, and every morning he would come in, and I would read the Wall Street Journal, and I would have these questions and ask him, you know, different things. And I realized at that moment too, you know, he would let me know, you know, like, okay, I would ask him, what's this? He would like, okay, that, and this is how this works. This is how this works. This is what an acquisition is. This is how we approach acquisitions. This is how I look at a company if I want to acquire it, you know, different stuff like that. And then I would, you know, talk to his crew as well. But then I start asking him about what books was he reading? You know, how did he, you know, how did he approach, you know, gathering knowledge, you know, and how he lived his life. He wasn't a very flashy man, but he ran a billion-dollar corporation, a billion-dollar business. So it was a grand opportunity every morning. He told me about Good to Great from Jim Collins, which one of those books to change my life. I read every book that man has ever wrote. And, just different things like that. Then his crew, I had the CFO as well. And Marcy Campbell, which is head of the HR. I remember the one thing I asked her and this whole team was, what was the one book that changed your life? Yeah. What was the one book that changed your life? And they said, one book? It's life is a, but the only thing is one book will help, there's no one book that's going to change your life. There's never one thing that's going to change your life. It's a collection of things,
Right.
And it was like, I knew at that moment, I found like some people who, I wasn't just a security guard. They seen something in me. And every day they would, drop a little nugget on it to make me think. And they would question what I was learning, and they would ask me what I'm learning, and then they would ask me questions to make me think about it. It's one thing to have the knowledge, it's another thing to utilize it as well. And it's another thing to truly understand it and understand, I don't know. It was
No,
it was
I
different.
Get it. It was different. And also on their part, like when you're in something and let's say you're kind of at a level where you've kind of mastered it, it's good to have someone on the outside of the fishbowl to kind of question things and be like, oh, you know what? I didn't think about it that way. Like, I've been doing this for so long and I've been doing it this way. And having someone on the outside looking in, like, and not being afraid to poke and prod at it, you're like, it is,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
it's valuable.
They never give you the answer.
Right.
Like they you ever realize that? Like, they never give it to you. Yeah. Like, the actual answer. They was like, gave me a path to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you got it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And that was like the best way of learning.
If they did give you the answer, would you have been happy with it? Would you have,
I think I would have felt a little bit deprived of an opportunity, right? I really enjoyed the fact that they taught me how to think, not what to think.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was something that's more sustainable. Mm-hmm. You can give somebody an answer, but if they don't know how to get to the answer, they'll never be able to discover more.
Right.
Unless somebody gives it to them.
Yeah.
So I thought it was beautiful.
I believe that a good mentor is the two things that you do, you challenge and you support. Mm. So, you're trying to push, but you don't want to push them so hard that they fall over. You want to be able to push and also, be able to give them a leg to stand on,
know. And that kind of reminds me of you when you were talking about work hard.
Right.
Like you were able to go and navigate, and if you needed something, they were there for you. Even if you fell, they never told you to stop. But they would, there was like, okay, try this. Now try this. They never told you to give up, but they said this may be another way to navigate it, right? Like I truly believe that's the way, man. Even in parenting, it's the same thing, I don't want to say yes or no for my kid. I want to trust their yes or no.
Yeah.
I want that. That's what I want.
Man.
I want to trust their ability. I want to be able to trust their decision.
Yeah.
Instead of make the decision for them, I think that's when you become successful as a. That's what I look at success as being a parent. You know,
couldn't
I mean?
Agree
as
more.
Well as even a boss. And somebody that's maybe an employee that I have that I work with, I want to trust their decision making.
Right.
I don't want to have to make the decision for them, because then I could have just did it myself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to both feel validated, but also scared sometimes.
This whole thing is scary.
So, yeah, that segues into my next question.
Come on.
So our last episode was with Matt Thornton.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
And you worked with him at Work Hard, and you also share an office with him.
Absolutely.
At the Warhol. What are some things that you've both kind of grown together, and how has he kind of seen you? How you've seen him develop over the years?
Oh, man. So anybody that doesn't know Matt Thornton, you don't live in Pittsburgh.
For real.
Go listen to the last episode.
Everybody, like literally everybody. But yeah,
Theo Vaughn knows Matt Thornton. Theo Vaughn. You know what I'm saying? Like, come
Rob
on.
Deirdrick.
Early days with Matt, when I met him, he was on Warrington Avenue doing Drip Lounge, which was a vape shop. And then he did these really awesome events where they'd have comedians come in. And then they would often mix in comedians with storytellers. And within Matt's world, he has a lot of community and recovery, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times it would be like these big, you know, impactful stories that still had a comedic lean to them a lot of times. Or at least the storytellers were funny. And one of my early memories of Matt over at Drip Lounge was around Halloween. I think I came from like a comedy show or something and was coming back up. And, as much as Work Hard was a workplace, sometimes it was also like a meetup spot, later on that night or whatever to go do the next thing. But I ended up going over there with Buzzy Torque, who does Epicast and podcasting and all that. And they were doing karaoke at Drip Lounge, and it was Halloween, and Matt was dressed up like a nun, and he ended up singing. He did two songs. I'm not going to remember the other one. He can tell us in the comments.
Yeah,
but,
please.
But it was Roses, from Outkast. Yeah, he got up there, and it was...
I could see it.
And it was fantastic. Like, there was no better costume or person in that moment to be singing that song. But that's Matt. You know, he puts himself out there. He's somebody who, I think he knows himself really well, so he doesn't shy away from things. He doesn't shy away from situations. And on top of that, because he knows himself so well, he's able to, like, see other people and, kind of meet them where they're at kind of thing all the time. And I like that about a person like Matt because, in this world that we're in right now of trying to do the right thing, capitalism and everything. And, not that capitalism can't do good things, but it's doing a lot of not so great things right now. To walk into a room with somebody like Matt is like, I don't know. It helps you kind of shed your layers a little bit. It kind of helps you to be an authentic human, to ask people how their day was and to, offer them something to drink, like all these little things that really help us slow down and be present. So, just seeing Matt grow has been really cool because he's been an entrepreneur running the business there with Drip Lounge. He was doing some video content on YouTube with his 412 crew.
Absolutely.
And and then I was very fortunate in some early days as he was getting into video work to work with him and have him kind of shadow on some projects and set up equipment, run interviews and all that, and to see him come full circle with that and share that with other people has been really cool. It's always good to see somebody, bring that knowledge back full circle.
I love that.
Absolutely, man. He inspires me, man. It's one of those things when you talk about and start to smile, man, because, also being someone that's in recovery and seeing someone, like Matt and hearing his story, knowing that, if you really want it, if you go for it, the things you can accomplish, but who you can actually become. Because I think it's one thing to think about the things you can acquire. It's another thing to think about. I think it's more important to think about what you can become. Mm-hmm. And to see him navigating the world and doing the thing he loves and knowing where he was at. They say, rock bottom, you dig 10 feet deeper. And that's exactly where he was at, at one point in time in life. And now to see him not just enjoying his life, but bringing so much joy and so much in teaching other people how to, navigate their dreams and them going on to be, it's really dope, man. It's really dope because it's like, all right, somebody coming from that side as well on recovery and seeing this, and it's like, no, there's the grass, there's possibilities out there, man. Like I can be something, it's really cool to watch him.
Well, and one of the ingredients that he always brings to stuff is, he has, I was joking about everybody in Pittsburgh knowing Matt, but you'd be surprised wherever you go, who knows Matt, and he brings that network with him. So now that we're doing this kind of stuff that we're doing with these museums, and he's able to host an event like Network Factory and hook up the food vendor who's a local business and the drink person and the people that are on the panels and stuff like that.
The print shop.
Right. I mean, yeah, on our walls, you know, it's like those it blows my mind that people don't give enough credit to the people that bring stuff and make amazing things happen, like Matt.
Absolutely.
Who brought all those people together around the thing to amplify what they're doing and just help them grow, like, you know, and it comes natural to him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he knows the best of them and the rest of them. Like, you can see Matt in a banquet with John Fetterman or something like that, but also you can see him in a meeting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With people that are just newly into recovery, and he's talking to everybody that's set. He talks to he doesn't talk to anybody different. Like, you're a person, he's a person. It just, it works like that. And it's a beautiful thing, man. It's just a beautiful thing to see. And I'm excited to see where it's going to be next week. You know what I'm saying? Because every week it seems like he's in a different, you know, he's working with Spirit or working like somewhere in a different country. Like, you never know where Matt's going to be. It's just great. Or on Theo Vaughn, the damn podcast, man.
Yeah.
They literally had a segment talking about Matt. And then you see him on Ridiculousness. Like, I mean, what?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but it does, man. I'd love it.
Yeah, he was a great person to meet early on here in Pittsburgh, too, and just learn some of the sayings and things. And I don't know. There's a lot to learn from Matt.
Absolutely.
I hear you.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, man. So, as we continue to go forward, I mean, is there something else that you would like to cover as well that maybe we haven't tapped on, Ryan?
So I would just say maybe continuing on from some of the, you know, reasons why or things I'm grateful for in terms of like being where I'm at. You know, I mean, we talked a lot about Work Hard and some of the people there and things like that. But I think I like seeing, so somebody asked me at one point, what I thought my community was, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can kind of list off creative people. I can list off, like, you know, video games here in Pittsburgh. There's a cool pinball scene and stuff and, like, things that I do. But then, you know, it made me think, you know, a little deeper about it. And it's like, I think my community or the people that I gravitate towards are the people that are trying to build new things because old things aren't working, right? And you can apply that in a number of different ways, but I think it's always, you know, once again, the people that kind of overcome their fear to take a step into a new thing and, like, bring it literally into existence. Mm. And oftentimes the thing that, like, is benefiting a lot of other people around them, you know, it's only not real until you make it real kind of a thing. But absolutely. I think those are the people that I enjoy spending the most time with. And, like, learning from, and also just, like, being, you know, having an opportunity to contribute to what they're trying to build.
Absolutely. I call those people clock builders, not time tellers. You know what I mean? They're clock builders. You know, those are the ones that they don't need a path to follow. They'll create it. And it is the scariest thing ever when you're doing something that may have never been done before, but you still feel like it's necessary to do it. And you do it, actually.
It's compelling.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, it's beautiful, man. It's like it's not even like, you know, wanting to be the first. You just feel like it needs to exist and I'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. That to me is it's the greatest way to live. It's the greatest way to live, to leave this world with something that didn't exist before you were here. Mm. Like, that's purpose for me. You know, making it a better place for something that you brought into it that wouldn't be here if you weren't.
Right.
I don't know, man. I love that. I love that. What is it that you see in Pittsburgh that excites you right now, that you think that makes the future look a little brighter, that you didn't see in 2022?
Oh, wow. 2020. Okay, so I got to timestamp it. Let's see. I don't know. I think it's, you know, and even going back a little further, you were mentioning how COVID kind of poked and prodded people in a little bit of different ways with what they thought they were going to be doing with their lives, kind of thing. And I'll just say, even like maybe even a year out from when, you know, the pandemic started or peak pandemic started, I had a lot of stories from people that were saying things like, you know, I moved, I left a long-term relationship, I quit this job, or like whatever. It was almost like people quit waiting for permission to do a thing in a way, because of that lost time, because of all those missed, you know, milestones in people's lives and things and things that we just need, like live music and, you know, things that we need to nurture ourselves.
Yeah. I got you.
And so now I think the things that I look around and see are kind of the same things. It's like people that, once again, you know, those builders that are not asking or not waiting for permission to do a thing. And the way that I would kind of see that is, you know, things like what you all are doing, where you are literally, you know, printmaking for clients, but now you're also thinking about, you know, how can we make something really cool for somebody who's starting to grow a thing that is going to help them be unique and stand out, right?
Right.
It's not just like, well, you know, what's the bottom line here and how can I make some money, right?
Right.
It's like that took multiple layers of thoughts to get to this can that is now, that I'm now enjoying this delicious water from.
Thank you.
Hello.
To get to that point, and I think even just in the people I'm dealing with in my job that are coming through and taking programs, so many people are saying the same thing about, I'm doing this to make money, I'm doing this so that I can stay sane, and I'm also doing this to help these people out over here.
Right.
And I think there's a strong pull right now for a lot of people when they're in these kind of milestone change moments in their life to not just make it about themselves, but to try to look around a little bit and think about who's helped them out. You know, how maybe much they've struggled, you know, just kind of going back to Matt, thinking about all that he does with the recovery community. And that makes me hopeful. That makes me hopeful to see people, even when, you know, maybe that scarcity mindset sets in, to move forward in a way that is like hopeful and helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. That, I mean, I think you just nailed it right on the head, man. That's, I think it's, even when you're, like you said, like the permission, like stop asking for permission right now. It's just like kind of going forward. I think, how can I say this? I'm trying to think of a way to express this. All right, let's take it back. Okay, so during the pandemic, right? During the pandemic, a lot of people got a chance to sit with themselves, got a chance to really understand what was going on. Like the world stopped and we got a chance to look outside and actually see it for what it was, you know, no cause. It stopped spinning for a minute and you got a chance to think, you got a little bit of clarity and you start to dream. I think a lot of people started actually dreaming of what it could be, you know, like the way the world looked, the foundation was flat. It was like almost a brand new world. And how do I want to go see it? How do I want to see it going forward? Mm-hmm. How can this, I don't want to go back to what it was before. It feels like we're all starting on the same level. And now it's just open field for us to build this dream that we have, man. And there's a lot of people that are going forward. There's a lot of artists in this world right now. Because of the pandemic, because they had the time to sit with themselves and analyze themselves and realize, like, you know what? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think we're going to look back on the pandemic and actually be grateful for it. And we're going to see a shift. And I don't think it's happened yet, but there's going to be something this special that's going to be happening in the near future for an exact result from the pandemic that I think is going to change the world and make it even that much more beautiful. And it happens a lot of times in these black swan events, such as, you know, the depression, like some of the world wars that we had, you know, these dark times, beautiful things come out of it.
Finding the silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah. And and I feel like, you know, as we travel this new world that we're discovering right now, you know, there's going to be things that'll be here to stay, and there's going to be things that are going to leave. And I think one of those things that's going to be here to stay is people understanding that they are enough. And what I mean by that is that, like, we stop relying on the system to provide for us.
Yeah.
You know, and we're realizing, like, no, we can actually do this. We don't need to have this structure take care of us. Like, we can do it ourselves. Like, this, I think there's more entrepreneurs right now than ever in the world that ever existed. You know, more people attempting this, more people starting businesses, more people looking
at... Thank you, OnlyFans.
Yes, that's another one. You know, that's what I mean. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. No, I am a brand. I am the product. I am enough. I don't need to ask permission. Mm. You know what I mean? For someone to make a way for me, I'm going to make it for myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's going to be something that is going to create some beautiful things in this world, man, coming up in the near future where, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just excited about
that. Yeah, to add on to that, I think that I see more tenacity where people are like, you might start something and then it kind of fizzles off. And I see more where people are doing something, they're sticking with it. And they're maybe they have a little bit more room, or maybe they have a little bit more energy to like see something through.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in seeing more of that.
Absolutely. Because I think this country, the reason why America is America, and, you know, there's quite a few things, but one is that we started to build things, you know, things that we started to create things. There was businesses and there was a mentality that happened where it was like, you know, production, you know, you had the Henry Fords, you had the Heinz family, you know, we had all of these entrepreneurs that shaped the way the world is. And it's happening here, but it's actually happening all across the world.
Right.
You know, so imagine if the world is, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I feel like there's something that's happening now that's going to be just grand.
Mm-hmm.
Like when our children are at our age, you know what I mean? And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah,
I'm happy to navigate this thing.
I agree with kind of the reaction to it, right? From the side of people who are taking that leap and like doing the new thing. And I guess I would say like another symptom that kind of was shown by COVID is just people seeing things as they couldn't do them, for one, but also because they had that time to think. Seeing things is like, we don't have to do this status quo thing. We're not doing it right now. You know, we're working remotely. We're kids aren't in school. They're doing stuff from home. And it like always wasn't the best situation for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think seeing, like you're saying, maybe that status quo kind of breaking down a little bit and people coming out the other side and realizing like, oh, I didn't need that after all. Right. I didn't have to be at the office. Who'd have thought? Right. And now it does kind of, you know, now we have the ability, I guess, to like question way more things and not feel like there's like one or two or just even three paths, but like, where do you want to go and how do you want to get there?
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit more freeing, but once again, scary. Where there's always a healthy amount of fear, we'll say.
Yeah. You know,
and I think like even that. When it comes to the labor force, right, there was a point, I think the shift in my life when I realized that I can make more working with my mind than I can working with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like I worked in a lot of factory jobs, and it was the people in the office that made three times as much as me.
300 sometimes.
Yeah, because they were working with their minds. Right. So a lot of times I think even right now we look in society, you don't have a lot of people working with their hands right now. But you have a shitload of people working with their minds. And actually, like, I think it was Malcolm X that said, those that own the future put in the work today, right? And I think people are working, maybe not in the way that we used to work, but mentally, you know, taking the information, trying to find different ways to navigate this, using their mind, maybe products or whatever, drop shipping, whatever, something that it's not physically, they're not using like physical labor, but that, you know, mentally, these guys are thinking. You know, a lot of people are navigating the internet and creating ways to generate money while they're sitting in their room on their phone, walking, making making cash. It's just a different type of workforce that we have here. And yeah, I believe we do need some people to work with their hands. But right now, I think people caught wind that like, nah, I can make 10 times as much if I use my mind than you know, the physical side of it. You know what I mean? Than going into a factory and risking my life, you know, in the steel mill or something like that, which is necessary as well, too. I think we still need those type of workers, but I think a lot of people are just over that.
Yeah, and if you don't have the resources to be able to if not enough people are willing to do it, then that's where the wages increase, because to attract the people. So then it creates a positive reaction either way.
Yeah. And I think the side of it that's also, you know, you're talking about like, what can I be doing, right? Like, what are the infinite possibilities of ways, and especially, you know, in American society, that can be doing a thing. I think there's a lot of absurd things that have happened too, that we've all seen and been exposed to, like, Bitcoin things where values being generated from, as I understand it, like nothing.
Right.
And that's a financial market now. And like, people are winning and losing and everything else in between. And meanwhile,
countries are buying in on it. Like,
and we're like still expected to like pay our taxes and stuff. And we're all just sitting here like, what is going on? And so I think, you know, we're so connected to so much of like the wider world that we're not directly geographically connected to, that we get a lot of information, and it can be stressful in a way.
Right.
But I think we react to it. You know, I've heard the term, it's like cultural ritual, or like a ripple that kind of goes through, where things that we feel get expressed through music or film or, you know, art or like whatever. And we all kind of nod our heads or cry or like, or, you know, get that nice warm hug where we're like, oh, thank you for like feeling me. But I think a lot when it comes to work, and when it comes to like what we do for a living kind of things, we now have been given permission to question a lot of that because of the absurdity of things like Bitcoin and just other things that exist now that don't really do anything. And like, that's okay, that, you know, society's okay with that.
Yeah.
So like, why, you know, go do your crazy, or not your crazy, but, you know, here in Pittsburgh, go make the furry costumes for AnthroCon. That is not a crazy idea. Like, that is a legitimate business here.
I have a friend. I have a friend who actually makes, I think that's
Joe. We're wrapping up. No, it's okay. Go ahead. No, we'll just wrap up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a friend who makes furry costumes and makes a living off of it. Travels the country.
I can imagine.
The country, and actually is now like recommended by a lot of people that are into the furry lifestyle to like make their costumes. Like, he's the top tier, and he's actually a 448.
Okay.
Shout out to Jamie. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what Jamie's business name is, but that's what he does. He literally makes costumes for furries and has been supporting himself for the past 3 years. And after, like, the pandemic kind of stopped that, but once the pandemic was over, like, the tail end of it. That's no pun intended. But that was grand.
Sometimes it's just grand. The tail in ears.
Yeah.
You gotta get started somewhere.
That's the tail end of this podcast. We gotta wrap it up.
But you know what, man? It's been, Ryan, this has been amazing having you on today. I'm honored to have you next to me, man, because because I know what you're doing, the residual of that is going to be a better world that we live in, man. And there's going to be a lot of people that have the skill set to be able to go and be independent and not have to ask permission. Everything you was talking about, you know, this is the things that you guys are doing over there. And I'm excited to see more of it. So is there anything else you want to tell the people, where they can find you, where they maybe can sign up to be a part of the thing that you guys are doing over there at the Warhol, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're collectively the Pop District there on the North Shore. And if you go to the popdistrict.org, you can find out all about our programs. We got a whole link tree that has a lot of the opportunities on there too. But I would encourage people come out to one of those network factories that Matt runs and just kind of meet people, talk about what you do when people are in that space? And I believe the next one will be coming up in March. I'm not sure when this podcast drops. We generally do 4 a year, but whether you're just getting started or you're running national brand campaigns, like all those same people are in the room. So like we've been saying, you know, come out, meet your people, find out how to do the next thing you want to do and go from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Hey, what about you personally, like social media?
Oh, gosh. So I'm getting back. So that's one of my 2024 goals, to get back to some creative
things. You got a website or anything?
If people want to follow me, Instagram, I do Haggerty Media. It's at Haggerty Media, and that's H-A-G-G-E-R-T-Y. I don't know how those other Haggertys spell it wrong. But, yeah, I do still post photos on there from photo walks and things like that. And then my itching to get back to more creative things, but you can see my stream of consciousness there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and I appreciate sitting between you two guys, doing this for so many people for so long now, and also just kind of shining a light on all the cool things that people can get into when they're here in Pittsburgh.
Much appreciated. Thank you for coming to our 100th episode.
Yes, man.
That was a really fun recording.
Yeah, we did appreciate that, man. Yeah. And you and Josh was there. It was like, oh, it was real. It was real, man. And we was in y'all, you know, y'all neck of the woods.
I was also at the Hundo for Drinking Partners, too. So I like to make that a tradition here in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to the Drinking Partners, man. Ed and Day, man. You guys are phenomenal as well. Yeah, man, and we that's another one that is in the books that I hope you guys listening, I know you guys listening are going to catch some value off of this, and thank you so much, Ryan, for coming and stopping by. My name is Corey Ochai. I do run the 1028 Podcast Studio, so if you guys like what you're listening to, you like what you're watching, and you want to try this yourself, don't hesitate to hit me up on 1028 Podcast on Facebook, on Instagram.
This is an example of the quality that you will get from this.
Yes.
Right, so here, you've been listening to it.
Absolutely. So if this is something you want to do, like help, let me help you tell your story. All you got to do is pod. I take care of the rest. So, you know, give me a holler. We can make it happen for you guys. And what about you over there, my friend?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to Ryan and Corey both for being on. I thank you for everyone that's listening, watching, sharing, liking, following. Appreciate everyone that's a part of this in any way, shape, or form. Big shout out to Larry Lane.
Larry Lane.
I'll let him post my social media stuff and the links. Instagram, Josh Snyder 86. It's Snider. I don't know how the rest of them are spelling it, but 86. And check us out. Place an order, pghprintship.com. We run a printing business, my fiance and I, and it's been incredible. We're about to hit 10 years and just under 10,000 customers. So it's some good stuff. We've got a lot of new stuff coming in for this year, and it's going to be very exciting. So
shout out to Printship for this delicious, I don't know if I mentioned, this delicious water that I mentioned I was 41, but I feel 35 right now. So something going on here.
It's good. Yep, thank you. Man. Water from Mars.
All right, guys. Cheers. And we are out, my friends. We are out. Thank you, Ryan. Hello.
All right, all right, all right.
All right, all right, all right.